Chapter 12. This key isn't the right size for the bus terminal lockers or a post office box. Nance turned the little silver key that had been in Ruth's locket over in her hand, then looked up at the other women. But I think it might be a good fit for the lockers in the fitness center. We could check there first, Ida said, but I also think we should try to get into Nunzio's condo and see if there is a box or safe with a lock that might fit the key. Ruth, you wouldn't happen to have a key to his place, would you? Nance asked. Lexi saw Ruth blush. As a matter of fact, I do. Okay, then, shall we? Nance stood up and motioned for the others to follow. Helen, Ruth, Ida, and Lexi all pushed themselves away from Nan's mahogany dining table and followed her to the door. Lexi brought up the rear, glad that she had arranged to leave Cassie in charge of the bakery for a few days so she could keep an eye on the ladies and make sure they didn't get into too much trouble. The fitness center was one building over. They followed Nan's down a long corridor, two flights of stairs, and through the glass doors that led to the large gym that was free for all seniors who lived at the retirement center. Nans marched right in, heading for the lockers, then stopped short, turning to face the others. What's wrong? Ida furrowed her brow at Nans. I just realized Nunzio would have used the men's locker room, Nans said, holding the key up. Who wants to go in? The four of them raised their eyebrows and shook their heads. Nance narrowed her eyes at the desk, which was attended by one of the trainers, a 20-something, muscle-bound type, who was busy frowning over a calendar. I'm wondering if you can help me, Nance said, approaching the desk. Muscles looked up, with one eyebrow cocked. You see, my friend gave me this key to his locker, and I need to get his belongings from there. Lexi tried to hide her smile when she saw Nance put her free hand behind her back, her index and middle fingers crossed. He recently passed away.
Let me see.
Muscles looked at the key, then frowned.
This isn't one of ours.
It's not. Nance furrowed her brow.
But if your friend is Nunzio Bartoli, his brother already came to get the stuff from in his locker.
Lexi felt her stomach sink and saw Nan's brows knit even closer together. He did. What did he look like?
Old guy with a really long gray beard.
Muscles illustrated his words by holding his hand at mid-chest level below his chin.
His locker was empty, though. Nunzio never kept stuff in it.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Nance held her hand out for the key, and Muscles dropped it in her palm. She turned, raising her brows at Lexi and the others, and walked toward the door. I didn't know Nunzio had a brother, Nance whispered to Ruth as they walked back into the hall. He didn't, Ruth answered. He didn't? Nance narrowed her eyes, glancing back at the gym. Well, then, who was the guy with the long beard who wanted to look in his locker?
I can't imagine who it could be, Ruth said as they followed the hallway out to the covered walkway that led to the detached condos. Something doesn't seem right about this.
Ida held the big glass door open for the rest of them.
Did any of you see an old man with a long beard at the memorial?
Helen asked. Lexi shook her head along with everyone else.
Maybe Longbeard isn't a family member. Maybe he's a mobster,
Nan said, her face flush with excitement. Lexi rolled her eyes as she followed the older women along the walkway. The warm summer air felt good in contrast to the cool air conditioning inside. But Lexi didn't have long to enjoy it, since she had to jog to keep up with Nance and the gang.
Maybe we've been barking up the wrong tree the whole time,
Nans reached the end of the walkway that spilled out onto a flagstone path leading to a cluster of small condos.
"You mean the family might not have anything to do with it?"
Ida asked.
Nans nodded. "But why would mobsters want the will?"
"Maybe it isn't the will they are after." Nan slowed as a chipmunk scurried across the walkway in front of her.
"Ruth, think carefully. Do you remember if the person who knocked you out had a beard?"
Lexi stopped and turned to look at Ruth, who pursed her lips and thought.
"No, I don't remember anything. One minute I was taking groceries from the car. The next, I was waking up on my couch. The doctor said it was common to not be able to remember what happened right before a head injury."
"That's right," Alan said. "The brain has a protection mechanism that disables your conscious memory, but your subconscious still knows what happened. And I can tap into that subconscious with hypnotism."
"That's a great idea," Nan said. "If Ruth got a look at them, she might be able to identify the killer."
Lexi remembered how Helen had hypnotized her not that long ago with much success, and also the added side effect of clucking like a chicken when she drank coffee. She hoped that side effect was worn off by now, and made a mental note to look out for it the next time she had some of her favorite brew.
"I guess this one must be Nunzio's."
They stood in the courtyard, where six detached condos sat in a U-shape. Nans pointed to the one that had a broken strip of yellow crime scene tape hanging down from it.
"I guess it's okay if we go in, seeing as the crime scene tape is broken,"
Helen ventured. Ruth stood at the door, rummaging in her purse for a key.
"Are you going to be okay?"
Nans put her hand on Ruth's arm, and Lexi felt her heart squeeze for Ruth. She had lost a close friend, and going in there must be hard for her.
"Oh, I'll be fine."
Ruth waved her off, produced the key, and opened the door. Lexi's heart sank as she stood in the doorway of Nunzio's condo. The place was a mess. Couch cushions ripped open and stuffing on the floor. Cabinet doors hanging and drawers pulled out, the contents scattered about.
"Where do we start?"
The five of them looked around the room in silence. Finally, Nan spoke.
"I guess we should look for a box that might take the size key we have. I'd say it would be about the size of a bread box. Ruth, Ida, and Helen, look in here. Lexi and I will take the bedrooms."
Lexi shivered. The bedroom was where Nunzio had been shot and killed. She followed Nans down the hall, picking her way over the debris. Her gut churned as they approached the bedroom door. She peeked around the door jamb into the room. She didn't know why she'd felt so apprehensive. Nunzio's body wasn't there anymore. And she'd certainly seen plenty of dead bodies and pools of blood. She should be used to that by now. But still, the chalk outline and dark stain on the rug gave her heart a jolt. Nans, on the other hand, didn't seem fazed at all. She strode purposefully into the room, looking in the closet and sifting through the debris. Lexi started over by the bureau. The drawers had been pulled out, and the contents lay in a heap on the floor. She poked through the pile. No box. Getting down on her hands and knees, she looked under the bed. Nothing under there. Lexi noticed a fine black powder over just about every surface. The bureau, the windowsills, even the lamps. Fingerprint dusting powder, she assumed. Looking at her hands, she realized she had gotten some on her and wiped it away on her jeans. It was going to be pretty hard not to come out of the condo covered in black dust. Standing, She surveyed the room. Something nagged at the back of her mind. Scanning the mess for any bread box-sized item, her heart jerked when she realized what had been nagging at her. The fingerprint powder was smudged, not just where she and Nance had been looking, but in the other parts of the room. She went out into the hallway and looked into the guest room, which Nunzio had set up as a den. None of them had been in this room yet, which meant the black powder should be visible in fingerprint-sized swatches, undisturbed. But it wasn't. "Nance, I think I found something," Lexi called over her shoulder.
"The box?"
"No, something else. Come here." Nance appeared in the doorway, her face anxious.
"What?"
"We haven't searched in this room yet, but look at the black fingerprinting powder. It's all smudged." Nan scrunched her eyes together and scanned the room.
"So it is."
She looked at Lexi wide-eyed.
"That means someone was in here after the police came."
Lexi nodded. "Someone who was searching for something."
"Which means we may be looking for two parties. The people who killed Nunzio and tossed the condo in the first place, and the people or person who came in after the police."
Nance headed back to the living room.
"Any luck?"
Helen, Ruth, and Ida shook their heads.
"Nothing." "We think someone has been in here since the police. Someone other than the killer."
The three ladies looked up at Lexi and Nance.
"Who?"
Ida asked.
"I have no idea. Maybe the brother with the long beard?"
Nance answered with a question.
"We need to get a better handle on what it is all these people are looking for," Helen said.
"And find out who had the means, motive, and opportunity," Ruth added.
"I did look into some of the things we talked about yesterday."
Helen gingerly lifted the corner of a couch cushion to look underneath.
"What did you find?"
Nance asked, crossing over to the kitchen area. Helen leaned back on her heels, brushing the dirt from her hands.
"I did find that the grandsons all need money, as does the son, Lou. That was the gentleman at the memorial who looked like a thug. Several of them do have guns registered. Gina, Lou, and another grandson, Will, who can be ruled out since he is in the Caribbean on a treasure hunting expedition."
"We still don't know what kind of gun Nunzio was killed with. Lexi, can you find that out and get the time of death from Jack?"
Nance asked. Lexi's chest tightened. She hated asking Jack investigation details, and he never wanted to give them up. She'd have to think of some clever way to get the information from him.
"Sure," she said, despite her feelings. "And I suppose we should start looking into where all the relatives were the night of the murder. We should pay a visit to the daughter, Gina. She might be able to tell us more about the family dynamics and who would benefit from the new will," Nan said.
"Or what other things someone might be after,"
Ida added.
"Most of the family is staying at the Weston Motel. We should head out there after we finish here," Ruth said.
"I agree," Nan said. "Maybe she can clear up some of the questions we have. Lord knows, we could use a break in this case."